Stephen, we're entering the Robert California zone.
We are.
It's here. I've been waiting for this day. It's a great day.
Okay.
I love me some California.
We have to talk about this. What did you do over the summer open?
Yes, we are talking about episode one of season eight, titled The List, originally airing on September 21st, 2011. This episode is written and directed by BJ Novak.
Yeah, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, we've had like the back to summer opens before, especially something that's referencing like the current internet meme zeitgeist that's happening. We have planking going on in the cold open, whereas before we've had lip dub and parkour was another one. And so, yeah, so we have some planking going on in the office.
Planking is a very stupid and dangerous trend. Basically, you lie like a plank in weird places. That's it. Sometimes you get run over. Welcome to the internet.
And that is interspersed with information about what everyone has been doing over the summer.
I had forgotten about planking.
Me too. I mean, was it really a thing? I mean,
I don't know.
Did you plank? Did you ever plank?
Do you think I'm a planker?
I don't know. I feel like you might have found out about it late, tried it once, and then said this was dumb.
Yeah, that's probably pretty much what happened.
I've never planked. I can't say that I have.
Well, Erin is. She doesn't understand why it's a fun thing, but she's just excited to be a part of it.
Planking is one of those things where, hey, you either get it or you don't. And I don't. But I am so excited to be a part of it.
Meredith is planking, but only in the bathroom.
The men's bathroom, right?
We see her under the urinals.
Ugh.
Not a place you should go.
Stop, Meredith.
And then, like, on top of, like, the partition between the stalls, it's a pretty narrow area.
I know. It's impressive. That's quite an impressive plank.
It is. Go, Meredith.
So we find out in this cold open, in between all the planking, that Robert California was offered the job from the search committee. He walked into the office, took one look around, and left.
He drove down to Florida and convinced Joe to make him CEO. CEO. Her own job. He talked her out of her own job, and I don't really know how someone does that.
And then he comes back to Scranton to work out of the conference room? But that's where we are now. And in this amazing reveal, I love the way they did this, they show us who the actual new manager is.
Anyway, then the position was his to fill, and he chose...
He's very excited. He went to a college you've probably heard of. It's Andy Bernard.
It's unbelievable.
He makes sure that you know where he went to college with his new office decor. And we even have like an Andy open in the credits where he has a little fisherman statue that he accidentally knocks off his desk. So Andy is the new manager.
True, I may have been the second choice, but I was the first choice's first choice.
And honestly, I gotta say, it kind of feels like the right fit because he was a terrible salesperson. So it's kind of good that maybe he's the manager, but then he's in charge of the important clients, which is part of the plot of this episode where he needs to tell Robert that one of their biggest clients has been lost.
Yeah.
Probably by him.
Yeah, I like to think that that's Andy's fault. Yeah, so the thing with Robert California being CEO, Jim does mention that, you know, he works out of Scranton about half the time, but like Sabre's a pretty big company and he's just like working at one random branch in Pennsylvania. I don't get it.
Well, he's from Pennsylvania, right? So he has a house there in Scranton.
I guess so.
So I guess he's like, he's doing half time there so he could like be at home, but then also run things over at Sabre. Yeah. Because, I mean, for a man like Robert California, is one little small branch of a company really enough for him?
No.
It's definitely not. But I do like the way they did this because they didn't replace Michael with James Spader. Instead, they kind of gave him a whole different role, which is great. And they replaced Michael with Andy. But again, it's not quite the same because now we have Robert California around and we have Andy around. But it's not saying that like, hey, we're just doing a one for one swap here. We're really changing things up. And I think that it helped the show move on without Steve Carell in a really great way that didn't feel like they were trying to hide something or cheat us out of something as the fans and the audience. Instead, it's just a new era.
Yeah, I agree. I had a similar thought watching this, that it's handled so well, and it keeps some attention on the storyline we've been having for a while, that, you know, Dunder Mifflin was in bad shape and it got bought. And so, like, we still have some of the corporate stuff going on too. And I think all that's really well done. Also well done, I think, is that Dwight is now the number two.
About Dwight, I sensed that he might have some resentment about not getting the job. So I sat him down, we had a talk, and I told him, I need a really strong number two. I want you to be my enforcer. Smart, right?
Assistant to the Andy manager.
The regional Andy.
Yes.
Yeah, Dwight's number two, but he's also dealing a little bit better than his, like, scruffy, looking for a job persona that we saw previously when he was very depressed. Now he's kind of focusing that energy into a lot of combat classes, various kickboxing and boxing and martial arts. But it's also balanced out with some meditation in the morning and evening.
Yeah, he has a scarf and he sits under a tree. That just felt like they filmed Rainn Wilson before and after work. But
maybe they did. Maybe Rain's just, you know, bringing in a little bit of himself into the
maybe
Dwight.
So.
Because, I mean, these characters need to evolve. They're in a different situation now, and we need to see them changing. And we see other characters changing. We see Stanley with a new catchphrase.
I came up with a new thing this summer. I act like I'm telling someone how to do something. I go on with a long description, and then I say, and shove it up your butt. It's stupid, but it's my thing now.
Which feels out of nowhere, but I mean, someone's got to pick up the ridiculous comic relief that Michael left behind.
Yeah. Shove it up your butt.
Just shove it up your butt. That's Stanley's new catchphrase. And we have Big Pregs and Little Pregs.
Look, it's Little Pregs and Big Pregs.
Wait, when did we start calling
them? Isn't it amazing the difference in our sizes?
Well, I am a few months ahead of you.
I'm having a child with my husband, the senator, and Pam is having a child with Jim, the great salesman.
Pam, who is pregnant again and actually pregnant in real life. And then we have Angela, who is pregnant with the senator's baby. They got married over the summer and she is fake pregnant. So I think it's kind of funny that they point out the dramatic differences mm-hmm. in them instead of trying to hide it. Because, I mean, a real pregnancy looks very different than a fake pregnancy on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Jenna Fisher, definitely pregnant in this.
Yeah.
With little Michael Scott.
Aw, Jim hates that joke.
Oh, yeah. Pregnant.
Right here. Little Michael Scott.
Nope, I told you I don't like that joke.
So we have Andy at the helm, and he seems to be struggling a little bit with his new authority. And what I like about this episode, the overall idea of it, is we are seeing Andy kind of working out how to be manager. And it doesn't just make him goofy the entire time. This episode really watches him evolve and form a more substantial dynamic with Robert California.
Robert California seems like a very difficult person to work for, right? He just says things and he's weird. And like, he's doing this thing where he gets up and walks around and has these very intense conversations with people. So, yeah, I don't think Andy's at fault for not really kind of knowing where he stands or how he should approach this relationship.
And that brings us to kind of the meat of the whole episode, is nobody really knows where they stand because this list pops up. Robert California is out on one of his workroom walks talking to people. He gets distracted by Andy and leaves his notebook on the reception desk. Erin finds it and she notices a list and she shows it to Pam. Pam shows it to Jim. They end up photocopying it. And this list of everyone's names, there are two columns, and it is what kind of sparks some conflict mm-hmm. in the office between everyone on these lists. Why are we on these lists? Who's on what side? What do the sides mean? And they spend the entire episode trying to figure this out.
Well, I have the lists.
Of course you do, Chancellor.
If you want to hear them.
Yes, please.
So on the left side, we have Jim, Dwight, Oscar, Daryl, Andy, Toby, and then Phyllis, Angela, Kevin. On the right-hand side, we have Stanley and Gabe, Kelly and Ryan, Old Man. We got a Creed in there. Pam, Meredith, Aaron.
And there's these little funny little blanks in between. We do get like a great close-up of this list in the episode. If you pause it, you can see it super clearly. And even if you don't pause it, mm-hmm. the camera lingers on it for quite a while, so you can really take it in. There are some like blank spots. You can tell that things have been erased and rewritten. And so I think that it's a pretty cool prop for this episode. They put a lot of effort into it and a lot of thought. And that is exactly what everyone in the office is doing. They are putting a lot of effort and a lot of thought into figuring out this list.
Okay, Robert's in the annex. Everybody think quick. What do these groups have in common?
Maybe we're supposed to do it with people in our group.
That's not it.
People in the other group?
Still wrong.
Stanley, you do puzzles all day. What do we got?
Well, you take the first letter from each name, assign it a number, add them all up, and shove it up your butt.
Thank you. A little much-needed comic relief. But we really need to figure this out, guys.
I know. It's alphabetical.
No, it's not.
What we come to is something that I really like. So I hate misunderstanding plot lines. I think that they are so frustrating when sometimes, like, a character could just ask somebody, bring something up, say something, you know, just be direct. And the lack of direct responses causes more conflict. We get that for like a few minutes here. And then once Andy finds out about the list, Pam brings it to him and asks him what's going on. He compliments her on her list.
Really great list of names, guys. Thank you so much. Good work.
No, actually, that was in Robert's notebook.
He left it at reception and we photocopied it.
Okay. I don't want any part of this.
And he ends up bringing it up to Robert California. He brings it into the office, apologizes for, you know, reading the notebook and blames it on everyone in the workroom. But it is brought up directly, even though Robert kind of deflects what this list actually means at first.
Yeah, he just says, you know, I just doodle, but I can't draw. So I make lists. I write things down.
Some people doodle at work when they let their mind run. They draw houses, penises. Funny how the houses are always colonials and the penises are always circumcised, don't you think?
As he's explaining this, he's erasing Andy's name and putting him on the right side of the paper. It's like very clearly not just a doodle.
Yeah, Andy witnessing this definitely makes him much more motivated to find out what the heck this list actually means.
Yeah, it's hilarious. So they recreate the list on like a big whiteboard or something, and they're trying to figure it out. No one really has any ideas. So Dwight says, well, what if we just line everyone up and maybe it'll become apparent? You know, maybe it's, I don't know, by height or something. But really it's a ruse because Dwight wants everyone on his list to attack the people on the other list. It gets violent very quickly. Can we just say, like, people bashing heads together, and it really just falls apart.
Left side of the list. Attack!
Stop! What are you doing?
I mean, it's really Dwight, because he's been taking all those combat classes. Right. He's all, you know, amped up. Before that, though, I love also how Jim remembers that Dwight used to make similar lists, and he tries to compare some of the lists to find out what it possibly means. And Dwight pulls out his very large stack of ledgers, and he's flipping through and trying to figure out which list of his might be, you know, similar to Robert's list.
This is if we were all on a cruise ship and had to divide into lifeboats. And this is if we were on a cruise ship and had to divide into life rafts. Here's something. Who would eat who in an alive situation? No, that can't be it.
And there's like a half a dozen books, and I just want to hear all these lists. It's pretty amazing.
In the background of all of this, we also have Andy kind of on his own little mission, trying to get this half day on a Friday before a 3-day weekend. Mm-hmm. So we kind of see that tension between Andy and RC, because we want to say Robert California, but I also want to say Robert. I don't know. What are we going to call him?
Yeah. No, I've abbreviated him in my notes, RC.
Me too. Okay. So, yeah, he has this, you know, he's dancing around a lot of things with Robert California because he wants to also remain on his good side in order to get this half day for everybody.
That's right.
Because he wants to bring home a win for the team. You know, he wants to be liked very much like Michael was, but even more so right now because he's so new.
It really reminds me of when Andy first shows up and he's like mimicking Michael, and he doesn't really do that with Robert California. But it made me think about that.
Can you really mimic Robert California?
No, you probably can't. I like that maybe we see some growth in Andy here. Or that, you know, in search committee, we saw him dressing like Dwight a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But at least so far, Andy seems to be more willing to be his own person. And I like that. I like that we're seeing some maturity, maybe, in Andy's character here.
So after the lineup that Dwight has everyone do based on their list, Robert California enters the room. They all scatter. Kevin yells, warning.
Warning! Warning! Warning!
Very slick, Kevin. Very slick. Aaron rips the list down and it says, what is the board reveal underneath her decoy?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't catch it.
It says like business stuff or something like that. Something super generic business plan, right?
Man, like it should have been Creed's bow body from last episode.
Oh my God, that would be so good. It was like left on there. Oh, that would be great. I wish it were that. Too bad. Too bad, props department. So after that, Robert comes in and he invites the entire left side, minus Andy, who has now been moved to the right side. He invites them all out to lunch. And so now we have two groups. We have the left side out to lunch with Robert California, and we have the right side back at the office with Andy. And Andy's trying to boost morale because everyone over there, they kind of feel like they aren't the chosen few. And so Andy's trying to soften things up with a pizza party. Or as Kelly points out, it's kind of just pizza.
Yeah, you need another element for it to be a party.
Great group! Pizza party!
How is this a pizza party?
Well, why don't you ask me again when the five pizzas get here?
Yeah, well, that's just pizza. You need at least one other element for it to be a party.
I love that Andy tries to explain margarita pizza, and the entire time we have Pam, who is there. She's having a very emotional day. She's pregnant and emotional, and everything's making her cry. Mm-hmm. I love how she starts to cry about the idea of margarita pizza being basically pizza.
Have you guys ever had margarita pizza?
What's that?
Fresh tomato with a dollop of mozzarella cheese.
That's pizza.
It's regular pizza.
She also keeps watching this like dog commercial on YouTube or something that keeps making her cry. And Jim's like trying to like stop her from watching it. But he also is kind of, I don't know if he's afraid of her, but you know, he's trying to be supportive, but not overbearing, I guess. It's just, it's all very good.
Yeah, Ryan's cutting his lip on some sharp pizza crust. It's a whole scene over there with that group.
Yeah, and Ryan's like, doesn't it make you feel better that I'm in this group? And it doesn't make anybody feel better.
Meanwhile, over in the restaurant, the left side group is having a conversation with Robert California. Most of them are just kind of yes-menning the situation and agreeing with him. Mm-hmm. And I love how Toby just excuses himself.
I should not be here. I was in the wrong. I'm sorry. Just picture me back there. I was never here.
And he just leaves. He leaves the lunch.
It's really good. Yeah, I shouldn't be here. I'm gonna go back.
Yeah, it's a man who knows himself right there.
Yeah, or you know, he's just not used to a new boss, and so he doesn't know how to feel.
Oh no, he's like conditioned to like not like himself. Oh no. That's so sad.
Yeah, poor Toby. Thankfully, he doesn't take it out on other people in any weird way.
Oh, man, you're so bought into this. It's
am
so
I,
wonderful.
Or am I just mocking you and you're having bought into it?
I'm going to choose the positive side of this and saying that you're on my side now. Welcome, friend.
Put you on this other list here on my desk. Erase your name here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they're talking at lunch, and Robert California says, well, this group is winners. And the other list is made up of losers. And he says basically immediately, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that, as like Kevin and Dwight are celebrating.
I just think you guys are winners and I wanted to have lunch with you.
Okay.
Oh,
yes.
But what about the other guys?
Losers?
Oh, come on. I don't know. I don't know how to say.
Come on.
No.
Come
on. Well, I guess I think they're losers.
I knew it. Yes.
Probably should have said that.
Jim looks horrified, as he should. I also wish we got a little more of Oscar in this, because I think Oscar would not approve of this, but maybe he would because he's a winner. I don't know. I just want to know what Oscar thinks.
Oh, I think Oscar would be on his high horse about
maybe.
It.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Right away, like, texts start going into the other group, calling them losers. Like, there is no chill.
Yeah, Kevin group texts them.
Oh, text from Kevin.
Suck it, losers.
There's no chill here whatsoever. Mm-mm. When they get back from the restaurant, there is a ton of, like, bullying going on from the winner group to the loser group. Things are getting a little hostile.
Yeah, it's not very neighborly. And Andy confronts Robert California about this.
Some people here are under the misconception that some people may be considered, let's say, top tier, and others would be second tier.
I never said that.
Thank you. Great.
I said winners and losers. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, that actually might be what I'm thinking of.
And then Robert has this, it's this very Robert California quote, but basically like, I think some of you are winners, I think some of you are losers, but I just met you all.
Life is long, opinions change. Winners, prove me right. Losers, prove me wrong.
And somehow everyone is kind of back on this even footing mm-hmm. again, where there was this tension, but now it seems like under some, like as Jim said in the previous episode, he might be a genius, because now the people that thought very highly of themselves need to continue working hard in order to keep that opinion, like in order to have Robert have that opinion of them, to continue having that opinion. And then the group that he kind of beat down a little bit morally, they are the ones that now are going to be working to change his opinion. And honestly, like looking at those people and knowing these personalities, I mean, we've been here 8 seasons now. We've psychoanalyzed all these people. We continue to talk about all these episodes. When you really look at this list, I think he's really right. Like that type of motivation for these people was the right thing to do. Right? Like if you give someone like Ryan, say like, oh, continue being great, he would just be like, whatever, you think I'm great. But now that because Robert California might think someone like Ryan is a loser, he's going to work now to show that he's not a loser.
Yeah, but Ryan also said, lead me when I want to be led, so.
All right, maybe Ryan was the wrong person to single out.
Old man, though. He's nailed the old man.
But yeah, so I like Robert California's way of dealing with things, because I don't know, I think it changes your thinking. And I think that's why I like Robert California so much, because he constantly surprises me.
You also just love James Spader.
I mean, I also just love James Spader, so he can do no wrong. But we see Andy really coming into his own here. Andy got moved, right? He was on the winner's list. He got moved to the loser list. Now Robert gives a speech to the workroom, and Andy is super motivated to make Robert California think he's not a loser and he's not going to get walked all over.
Andy, don't go in there.
I'm going in there.
Andy kind of pulls a Michael Scott and says, look, no one here is a loser. Let me explain to you why. And we don't see all of that. But I assume he just goes through the list and tells Robert everyone's qualities.
You don't know these people, and I do. And if I let you work with faulty information, well, then I'm not doing my job as regional manager. Stanley, you may think he's a lazy grump, but did you know that he has the most consistently high sales numbers of anyone in this office? And you may think he's hard to love, but did you know that he's in not one, but two long-term romantic relationships?
I did not know about the sales figures.
Meredith Palmer, supplier relations. The word no, not even in her vocabulary. And just to show you that I'm being fair, you had Gabe in the loser column. I think that is astute. Good call.
And I think that this is a great win for Andy, where he's finding a little bit of a spine here. He is finding his management footing. And that's what we talked about in the beginning, where Andy first seems really timid about everything. And then towards the end, we see a really good management moment where he is uplifting his staff. He's supporting them. He is being their advocate. And then he's coming out with a win. And I think that that's a really great thing for Andy in this very first episode of the 8th season.
Yeah. And we get this smile from Robert California as Andy walks out after cinching this victory for the day off. And I think that's pretty cool. I do think you're right. I do think that Robert California does respect that. And he won't tell Andy that, but I think that he definitely does.
We have a little close also at the end of this episode. As we discussed, Pam was, you know, just very emotional all day over everything. And she was really worried about this list in particular because she was worried it was, you know, people who were going to be fired. She was thinking the absolute worst. And especially with Jim being on the other side of the list, that was really, I think, weighing on her. And Jim goes to leave and he says, oh, I'm going to go warm up the car as Pam is finishing up at her desk. And he drops a piece of paper on the floor. And Pam calls out to him that he dropped this piece of paper and she picks it up. And it has the sweetest note on it. It's really sweet.
It is really sweet. So it is a list like Robert California's. And on the left side is Pam, CC, and new baby. And on the other side, it says everything else.
I mean, that's just pretty killer, right? I mean, maybe it's stupid. No. It's wonderful. I'm gonna frame it. I can always unframe.
She can always unframe it.
She can always unframe it. It's like she knows, like part of her knows that that's a silly idea. It's good.
It's like when you keep a really good box and you're like, I can always throw it away later. I know this is crazy. I'm going to keep this good box.
Yeah. So we're in season 8. We've done it.
Yeah. I mean, that was a pretty quick episode overall. It was very concise. We didn't have any B plot, really. It was all kind of tied in together. But I think for a season open with like all of this new stuff, I think it was an appropriate episode. I really liked it. I think that there were some really funny lines in it. And I like seeing where everyone's been. I enjoy an episode that like recaps time off because it kind of shows that the documentary crew isn't there all the time. And we're just getting like repetitive stuff that we do take leaps forward in the years. And so I enjoy those recap episodes that especially come at the beginning of seasons. So you can you should come back next week when we talk about season 8, episode 2, The Incentive. And until then, you can go and check us out on Twitter at @tall_beats. You can tweet at us and we will talk about the show. I don't know. Or if you want, you can become a member over at The Incomparable and get fun goodies at the end of the year, access to our members only bonus feed, and access to our members only Slack, the conference room where we chat about the episodes that we just watched. And you can find us individually on Twitter at ISMH and at Tiff Arment. And we will we'll be back next week with some more California.
Is that the only time you're going to say it like that?
I'm going to say it like that all the time. This is your life now.